Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side. A great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and besought him, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a flow of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. Sounds like a modern story to me. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I shall be made well." And immediately the hemorrhage ceased, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone forth from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Now, if you'll just join with me with verse 36. But ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." Now, I want you to take a minute with me and imagine this day. It was a very chaotic, confusing series of events in Jesus' ministry on that day, and they took place in rather rapid-fire moving setting. Jesus is caught as he gets off the boat by this large crowd of people. And just kind of, if you can imagine some kind of animal sound rolling around in the crowd, and in the midst of that crowd, gathering around him, there was a man named Jairus who comes up to Jesus and he begs for Jesus' help to save his daughter because she is dying. And so Jesus goes with Jairus, and this great crowd of people, which I'm sure was kind of like flowing chaos, moved with him. And it must have been a wild kind of day. And if you've ever been in a crowd, you know how chaotic the experience can be at times as a crowd moves in and carries on. Well, in the midst of this, all this pushing and jostling and confusion, a woman sneaks up and touches his garment, and a miracle occurs. This woman is healed, but Jesus wants to know who touched him because he felt power go forth from him. So the disciples said, "Who knows, Jesus? With all this crowd pushing and moving around us, could have been anybody that touched you." And this woman comes groveling in fear and tells him that it was her. And I'm sure that the crowd responded then again in more confusion and chaos. Not only that, but at the same time that Jesus is speaking, a servant of Jairus comes up and tells him that his daughter is dead. And Jairus and his people probably were going to pieces, and chaos and confusion exploded to new heights as this information began to sink in. And it's at this point that Jesus turns to Jairus and says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Say those words with me. Don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. I want you to see in this scene, this chaotic, confusing, highly charged, emotional event, the contrast between the way we think, the way the world thinks, and how Jesus calls us to think. The servants of Jairus, people like you and me, tell Jairus to leave Jesus alone because now his daughter's dead. And there's no hope, so leave Jesus out of this. And this is the way we think, too, isn't it? We think, this situation that I'm in, it's a dead situation. This situation is a dying moment. there's no hope. And sometimes we say it to other people as well. We say it to our friends. Well, Bill, you might as well give up because this situation, this marriage, this job, this problem isn't going to get any better. It's not going to change or come back to life. It's over. It's dead. And if we have any sense, if we have sense enough in some situations not to say it, we at least think it. There's no hope here. This is what is happening here in a day in the life of this crowd. The woman, this woman with a hemorrhage, Jairus and his daughter. It's the day in the life of people. It's a dead situation. It's the way the world thinks. It's the way we think. The world thinking is that in dead situations, don't appeal to God because it's dead. Contrast our way of thinking with what God says to us and what Jesus says to Jairus. And what Jesus says to us, don't be afraid, just believe. Say it with me. Don't be afraid, just believe. Today I want to talk to you about the pathway to a miracle in your life. This is the third in this series. I talked about expecting miracles. I talked last week about giving a kind of a definition for it. Today I want to talk about a pathway to a miracle in your life, or maybe in the life of our church, or the lives of those around us. Let me tell you a simple truth that has to do with every single one of us. Every single one of us needs a miracle. If not now, then later. Sooner or later, we all need a miracle. I don't know what yours is, or was, or will be, but we all need a miracle sooner or later. Someone once said this great truth, in the long run, we're all dead. And you know, it's nothing short of a miracle that'll get us out of this world alive. And buddy, that's the truth. We all will need a miracle at some point. We all encounter dead situations in our lives too. Dead relationships, dead ends in jobs, dead situations or businesses where things are failing, dead marriages, situations in which we encounter death, which we're out of control and our power to bring to life is not there. And in this scripture, it is Jairus' daughter who is the dead situation. For the woman with the hemorrhage, it was her condition which was a dead situation. For 12 years, she'd been fighting it. In the case of the woman, the doctors had put her through the ringer. They'd taken all her money and fees, and she was still sick. Sounds like a pretty modern-day story to me. She had been told to give up. It's no use. It's a hopeless situation. Jairus had been told his daughter was dying. And then they came up and said, she's dead. Give up. It's no use. And into this chaos and confusion and hopelessness comes the Word of God made flesh in Jesus, who speaks the Word of the Father and says, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. The first thing we need to do when we need a miracle is to quit listening to the world and listen to Jesus. The first step on a pathway to a miracle is to quit listening to the world thinking and listen to God's Word. Now, I'm going to read the rest of this passage here. No sooner had Jesus said, don't be afraid, just believe, than this happens. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he saw a tumult and people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, why do you make a tumult and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him, but he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and walked. She was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. No sooner had he said, "Don't be afraid, just believe," than he does this. He takes Jairus along with Peter, James, and John, and he separates himself from that crowd. Jesus separated himself from the confusion and the chaos around him. He separated them from world thinking and proceeded to the place where the dead situation actually was. Jesus put some distance between himself and the chaos, confusion, and world thinking of that day. When it comes to making a pathway for a miracle in our lives, there's a picture here of what we need to do. And I want you to follow through this with me. We first need to listen to Jesus instead of the world. And then we need to follow the lead of Jesus and separate ourselves from the confusion, chaos of the world around us. And when it comes to finding a pathway for a miracle in our lives, we separate ourselves from the world, but not from everybody. It's very important to notice that there were three disciples of Jesus who went with Jairus and Jesus. Sometimes, when we experience the darkness of dead situations in our lives, there is a tendency to go it alone. But I'm here to tell you that if you try to go it alone, you literally will go it alone. And you're not going with Jesus. When it comes to finding that pathway to a miracle in your life, we really need to remember that Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also." And when it comes to finding that pathway for a miracle for our lives, we need to separate ourselves from world thinking, but we need to make sure that we always have a few disciples of Jesus around us to make sure that we are indeed walking with Jesus toward the miracle. When they arrived at Jairus' house, they ran smack dab into chaos and confusion again. They ran into chaos and confusion from the darkness of grief and world thinking again. Outside the house of Jairus were a group of mourners. And I don't know if you've ever seen people when they get killed in the Middle East and the way people will go into fits of wailing or not. But some of those pictures may be a pretty good example of what was happening at Jairus' house. This was the death of a child. And I have had to deal with families who have lost children. And sometimes it has happened in such a way, and it is just all kinds of people are involved in that. Because it's one thing to see an older person die, but it's something else when you see a child dies and it's out of the ordinary way of things. So you got to kind of get a handle on the scene in your mind. This was not a few people around the bedside of the deceased crying quietly. This must have been an explosive situation in the power of its grief. This was a 12-year-old girl that had died. It's one thing when someone to see the grief for somebody who has lived a full life, but for someone who dies an untimely, premature death, and especially a child, the grief is explosive. Jairus was an important and influential man and probably a good man in the community as well, and based upon his response and the actions towards Jesus. So his friends were probably many. And many of them were present to enter into this tragedy of this dead situation. When we have Jesus and Jairus, Peter, James, and John arriving, and they encounter the same kind of chaos and confusion and darkness of hopelessness at the place of that dead situation that they had just separated themselves from the crowds. Jesus, the Word of God, the Son of God says, "The child is not dead, but sleeping." And the Word of God is mocked, scorned, and ridiculed by the world thinking. And when it comes to finding the pathway to a miracle in our lives, When we come to the dead situation with Jesus, we don't need any outside help to come and say, don't believe that. These were people close to Jairus. They weren't just a crowd. Some of these people were people of his own household. We don't have to have other people outside of us or mock our hopes. Our own minds will rise up against us and stop us. Doubt will lift his head and speak its word inside of us and in our own household. And when it comes to finding the pathway to a miracle and then making room for a miracle, expect doubt to rise. And it will rise within you and outside of yourself. But let me say this again. It is a lie to say that you are automatically defeated by doubt when it attacks. Doubt speaking its word does not mean that you or I have lost the battle of faith. These mourners laughed at Jesus, which was probably a laugh of mockery and scorn because they knew the realities of life, didn't they? I mean, when people or situations or marriages or businesses are dead, they are dead, right? When people are dead, they're dead. What they didn't know is that when God enters a situation, even that which appears or is dead, they can experience resurrection. Read with me verse 40. Here we go. And they laughed at him, but he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. They laughed at him, but he put them all outside. Jesus put the world, the friends, and the doubters all outside. He took those who loved the child, the parents, into the room with the girl. He took the disciples with him. Now, I don't know who of us here today might need a miracle right now, but we all will sometime. And some of us, from time to time, this church, that's you and me, may need a miracle today. What do you think? There's a great principle of faith that is present in this scripture, and you don't see it unless you're really looking for it. In order for Jesus to make room for a miracle to occur, what does he do? He puts the doubters outside the house, and he brought in those who loved that child and those who were his faithful disciples. The miracle happened because doubt was driven out. Confusion and chaos were separated from the need for a miracle. And those who were placed in the presence of the miracle were those who loved the child and those who walked by faith, the disciples. Making room, the pathway to a miracle and making room for a miracle in our individual lives and our family lives and our life as a church is pictured here in this story. There is a picture here of what is needed for a miracle to happen. What is needed is God's presence. That's divine love, like Jesus here. The faith of the disciples who followed where the Lord Jesus led them. And your love and hope for the situation, person, or circumstance that is or seems dead right before your eyes. Those three things: God's presence, faithful disciples, and your love for the dead person or situation or circumstance. One thing about the focus in this scripture. There's a lot of talk about faith as the focus of miracle working in our day and time. But I want you to see that the focus here in this scripture is not faith. The focus is on Jesus. The focus here in this scripture is not love, though the child's parents loved their daughter. The focus here is on Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith and our human love. And at the end of this story is something that is almost humorous if you think about it. Jesus told the parents and his disciples not to talk about the miracle and to get the kids some food. It really seems kind of ludicrous to me. First off, I don't think she was 12. I think she was 13, because we know that teenagers can sleep like dead people. But the girl was dead. Everybody knew it. Then the girl gets up, walks out of the room several minutes later after lunch. There's no way they're going to keep this quiet. And it's fairly clear to me that Jesus was no dummy when it comes to dealing with people. And I'm sure that what he was saying was, just don't make a big deal about this. Today we would have given that girl a big testimonial banquet along with her parents so that she could give her testimony and also the eyewitness reports of her parents. Jesus also says, feed her. Give her something to eat. Jesus knew that people would know about this, but he also wanted those who loved the girl and his disciples to incorporate the miracle-working power of God into the normal things of their everyday living. The pathway to a miracle and then making room for a miracle in our daily lives should be something that is incorporated into our everyday life. When a miracle is needed in your life or in my life or in a family's life or in a church's life, what is the pathway to that miracle? When divine intervention is the only possible hope in a dead situation that we might be facing, what are the principles to that miracle event? Well, the principles are these. And if you're writing anything down, this is the stuff. First is, go to Jesus. In the midst of the confusion and the chaos of the situation and in the darkness of that time, ask him for help. Go to Jesus. Second, then in the midst of the confusion, the chaos, all that world thinking that's around you, second thing is this, listen to Jesus. As he confronts the world thinking when he says, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. Go to Jesus, listen to Jesus. And third, as God separates you from that chaos and confusion and the world thinking that is around you, make sure that you are walking with Jesus. Because you got to walk on the pathway to the place of that dead situation. And the way that you do that and you make sure that you're walking with Jesus is you walk with other disciples of Jesus. You don't go alone. Because going it alone, you're not walking with him. And fourth, when you come to that place of death, expect doubt to rise up from within you to mock you and to mock the word of God that you believe especially. Doubt will rise. So expect it. But fifth, listen to the word of God again. And the best way we can do that is to be in the Bible, which gives us the word of God. But listen to the word of God again. The word of God will be like Jesus putting out the mourners who doubt. The word of God is like light shining in the darkness that drives away that darkness. The pathway to a miracle and then making room for a miracle involves removal of chaos, confusion, and doubt. And when chaos, confusion, and doubt are removed, it allows the entry of love coupled with faith. In this picture in Scripture, a miracle occurs with people of faith present, people filled with love, the parents, and the presence of Jesus. If there is ever a picture in the Bible that says Jesus can bring life into any situation that looks like a dead-end street, this scripture is it. There is a pathway right here. In order for that miracle to take place, they move the mourners out. The things, the people involved with death and doubt to make room for faith, hope, and love. Now the faith was present in the disciples who followed Jesus. The hope was represented in the parents, present in the parents who loved their daughter and hoped for a miracle. And the love was the love of God that was present right there with them in Jesus. Faith, hope, and love. The pathway to a miracle involves those three: faith, hope, and love. Wherever these three abide, miracles happen. Read with me 1 Corinthians 13:13. So faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So today, it may be a word for somebody here today. If you find yourself in a dead situation where you want the Lord Jesus to work beyond what any human engineering can do, a place where you need a miracle, and you stand in the faith that you are a follower of Jesus, and you name Him as your personal Savior and make that job of making Him Lord of your life, it may be internal, it could be financial, it could be domestic, relational, business, job, vocation, could be something physical, emotional, or spiritual in nature. That place where you need a miracle, whatever it may be, I want us to join together in prayer, and I want to ask those people that I asked to come up here and stand right now. If there is somebody here who does not know what you're going to do, but today you want to come into His presence, just as Jairus did, then come up here during the last song and let them pray with you. And you can say that. But I want to pray for all of us at this point in time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I join with anyone here who is in need of miracle working power in their life. Father God, I join with them in this prayer. And Lord Jesus, I want a miracle here in this area of my life. And I join with them in that prayer. And Lord God, even as that prayer is asked, I join with those people in the second most needed prayer. Jesus, I am willing to make room for it with your presence and your help. We come to you, Lord God, this day. In Jesus' name, amen. If anyone